Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Innan vi sätter igång så vill vi bara be er om lyssna på det här.
We put a lot of time in this and would appreciate if you could support us through Patreon for as little as 10 crowns a month.
Men Jonathan, är det inte svårt att bli Patreon?
No, you just go to patreon.com/teachmesweden. We spend our time doing this and it'd be nice to get a little something back.
Men hur betalar man? Måste man använda något jobbigt PayPal-system?
No, you just get it directly from your bank account and subscribe, and it gets taken out every month as little as 10 crowns a month.
Oh,
and then we even have other levels for people that want to give more. They can get more back.
Yeah.
We try to increase that as much as we can. We really appreciate the support. Just go to patreon.com/teachmesweden.
Do it! Välkommen till Teach Me Sweden, en historiepodcast av två komiker som lär varandra svensk historia. Jag heter Erik Broström.
And I'm Jonathan Rollins, and in this episode I'll be teaching Eric about a very famous author and playwright and burning man.
Skulle man kunna säga ett busfrö?
With the alcohol problem.
Busfrö med alkoholproblem, coming right up.
What a greeting.
Jag har gått från glad överraskad till svinrädd. Jag ska se, vad kan man hitta mer liksom?
Oh my god.
Oh man, you ready to learn some Sweden, man?
Om jag är.
Yes man, you get to just sit back and be funny, man.
Det bästa som finns är att sitta och lyssna på dig när du lär mig svensk historia.
I was told by my wife that you would probably know who this person is.
Okay, I think your wife holds me to a higher standard. I mean, vi får se. Det är ju inte omöjligt att jag har hört namnet.
I think I've mentioned this person in a previous episode.
Okay, och jag har gått igenom hela Sveriges skolgång. Så jag har säkert hört någonting kanske.
When I mentioned him in the thing, you knew.
Ah, är det Alströmer? No. Okay.
No.
I thought you were going to do the street
the
guy.
Street, no.
No, okay.
No, that would be good.
Okay.
But when I mentioned him, you were like, "Oh, okay, I know this."
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll do it, man. Well, let's hop right into it. Johan.
En svensk historisk person som heter Johan, jag kan inte tro det.
What a coincidence. Johan August Strindberg.
Ja, August Strindberg. Nice. Jag har spelat Strindberg. Jag är skådespelare.
Alltså, oh, wow.
Jag har spelat Strindberg. I gymnasiet så gjorde vi, Strindberg är väldigt populärt, så då gjorde vi utdrag ur hans pjäser, Fröken Julie och alla de här, det är den enda jag kan namnet på just nu.
Okay.
Och jag spelade August Strindberg.
Okay.
Så jag hade den här lilla mustaschen, jag var ju bara 17, men jag hade en sån teatermustasch som höll en monolog om sitt liv och så.
Are you a method actor?
Yes, okay. I went right into his way of living.
So you probably you probably know all about this.
Nej, right? Men jag har kunnat en hel del. Jag vet ganska mycket om honom.
Oh, nice.
Men jag vill jättegärna höra den här historien, för att det var väldigt länge sedan jag fick någonting från hans. Jag har varit i hans lägenhet, hans museum.
Really? And where is that?
Drottninggatan, nästan längst upp.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, Let's get to it.
Go.
My wife was right about you.
Yeah.
Johan August Strindberg was born on January 22nd, 1849. He was the third surviving son. That's crazy that they have to put that too.
Surviving son. Well,
I got 12 kids. I've had 12. But three lived.
But August killed them. He's the surviving.
I don't know. You don't have death matches in your living room? What kind of parent are you?
Hey, survival of the fittest.
Yeah, man. We have a Royal Rumble every Saturday. He was the third surviving son of shipping agent Carl Oscar Strindberg and maid Eleonora Ulrika Norling.
Mm. I bet for någon slags titel I alla fall.
Yeah, man. Uh-huh. I wrote that. Yes, we got the woman's job.
She's a maid, yeah. whoa, she's a maid, yeah.
Exactly. According to Strindberg, he dealt with emotional insecurity, poverty, and religious fanaticism.
Oof.
And neglect as a child.
Ah.
It's like a perfect...
Ah. Yeah. Perfect, what do you say, soil for artistic...
For an artist. It's artistic soil, exactly. So remember that, kids. Emotional insecurity, poverty, religious fanaticism, and neglect is a recipe for an artist.
You should be lucky.
If I weren't neglecting you, I'd tell you all about it.
You could become a starving artist when you grow up. Spoiler brat.
He was considered calm and quiet as a child.
No shit.
And his father was a strict disciplinarian. The family moved around quite a bit. For 4 years of his childhood, he attended a strict school in Stockholm called Klara Skola.
Okay.
That was so harsh that it haunted him as an adult.
Kan tänka mig det.
I wonder what happened in that school.
Oh, eller hur?
Jeez.
you see this ruler? Yeah. We use a baseball bat.
Welcome to PTSD.
Welcome to PTSD 101.
PTSD element.
Today we're going to...
What school did you go to? PTSD elementary. He has a strong memory of a friend that fell through the ice and drowned.
Okay, hade de lektioner ute på is eller
vad? No, it's just some. This is one of his memories.
Okay,
it's one that he just mentions while you look out the window.
Yeah.
I remember my friend fell through the ice and drowned.
Wait, what? What'd you say, August? August, vad är ditt bästa minne? Jag tror det var när min kompis ramlade genom isen och dog. Jag såg honom liksom kämpa för sitt liv under isen och jag såg hur livet slocknade långsamt medan han panikartat och med kramper runknade. Ja, men det är nog mitt bästa minne.
I don't want to know about the worst.
Ja, det var när jag gifte mig.
In 1860 he went to Jakobskola that was nicer.
Okay.
and again, a year later, they moved again to Stockholm Lyceum Private Boys School.
Okay.
He was interested in biology, religion, and photography.
Uh-huh.
And according to him, his mother resented his intelligence.
Okay, for whom it's so smart.
All we know is she was a maid.
Seems like we have ourselves a reader.
I'm cleaning, and you're reading.
I make the clothes clean, and you play around with letters.
You're taking in information, you piece of shit.
Håller på att arrangera bokstäver i en ordning så att de skapar ord. Jag städar.
His mother died when he was 13. And he says he grieved for 3 months. Then he was like, well, that's over. Got past
det. Det känns konstigt att sätta en tidsstämpel på det och hävda att man gjorde det konstant, liksom. 3 månader. Kyrkklockan ringer. Ding, ding. Okej, så. Åh, nu ska jag bli författare.
A quick question. How long did you grieve when your friend fell through the ice?
2 dagar.
Okay. Constant grief, 2 days. Mm. All right. within a year, his father remarried to his tutor, Emilia Charlotta Patterson.
Till Augusts lärarinna, alltså tutor. Ja, okej.
And she happened to be 22 years old.
Yeah,
13 years younger than the father. And August hated her.
Oh, it's clutch. Like, yeah.
And his sisters actually said that they believed they were his biggest enemies. Like that he just believed that he hated them the most too.
För jag har ju
tumultuous thing.
Jag har hört många gånger att Strindberg har blivit anklagad för att vara kvinnohatare. Och han har uttryckt sig väldigt hatiskt mot kvinnor i många av hans verk. Om du går på Drottninggatan, vet du att det finns citat från honom längs vägen. Det står ju så
här
guldbokstäver, ja.
Okay.
Och det kan helt plötsligt kan det vara typ så här skitfina grejer som så här, och sen bara typ så här kvinnan är en lömsk varelse, så det kan verkligen vara så här, Jesus Christ.
Okay. Ja. Starting to come together.
Yeah.
Strindberg spent the late 1860s trying to educate himself.
Yeah, trying to.
Yeah, he was working. It seems like a major focus in his life, actually, is to obtain knowledge. He spent the late. He studied medicine and chemistry in Uppsala.
Försökte han göra guld?
I don't see that.
Nej, okay.
But maybe.
Jag för mig att han kanske. Men skit i det. Jag lyssnar på dig nu.
He studied medicine and chemistry in Uppsala, Lund, and Stockholm. He worked in the pharmacy on the side and as a school teacher, like just to So this makes me think I'm just like working class dude. That's the picture I get. And then finally, in May of 1869, he was ready to progress and he took his exam, which he failed. And then he said, "Fuck this," and gave up completely.
Nice build up.
Well, I quit.
That's it.
No more of that. I was gonna try to make gold.
Jag tror faktiskt att han gjorde.
That was his thesis. They were like, "That's not gold.
Yeah,
that's putty." Well, fuck this, man. And then in 1870, he went back to Uppsala University, but this time it was to study aesthetics and modern languages. So he left the whole science sector and went to
gold making days are over.
More into the language arts. He was also interested in the stage, and he began dabbling in some plays. At this point in his life, he was into Darwin, and he started a club called the Rune Society. Oh, I don't know if they say Rune. R-U-N-E.
Rune, tror jag.
Rune Society, which was a literary club. Fun fact about that, it was the members took on nicknames from the ancient Teutonic alphabet.
Okay. Jag vet inte vad det är för alphabet.
I don't either. It was like the Teutons were an ancient northern European tribe mentioned by Roman authors.
Yeah.
They're best known for their participation together with the Cimbri and other groups, of course.
Yeah, but that's why I thought it had something to do with Germany, because du vet Blazing Saddles, så Hedley Lamarr, han har det blir som sidostoria, men jag måste nämna det bara för att jag tänkte på Tyskland. Han har en förförerska som ska liksom förföra The Black Sheriff. Hon är från Tyskland uppenbarligen. Hon är typ så här, hon skriver till mig på tyska, I need to see you in my dressing room right after the show. Och sen hon har misslyckats, så har han henne tillfångatagen och hon håller på och sjunger en jävla tysk nationalsång och han typ så här, shut up, you Teutonic twat! Jag tycker det är så roligt. Han har satt sig som citat, så är det bara, det här med Tyskland gör. Så de tog sina namn från Teutonic alphabet.
Yeah, Teutonic alphabet, which apparently is some ancient Greek Roman something.
Yeah.
What was Strindberg's nickname, you ask?
I'm dying to know.
It was Frö.
Frö?
Yes. Ah. The seed, after the god of fertility.
Ja, okay.
That's what he wanted
to go by. Så han påstod lite att han var, jag är ett frö. Jag är kåt hela tiden.
Maybe, that sounded so gross. Strindberg started trying to crank out some stage plays. He started writing a play about Eric the 14th.
Hey, vi pratade precis lite om honom.
But the Rune Society said it was whack, so he gave up the idea.
Well, Eric the 14th was whack. Han kan inte hitta på saker.
Exactly. It's like, hey man, it's just true.
Yeah.
Then he wrote a comedy in verse, which was like the language of the arts at the time. The Royal Theater accepted the play and premiered it on September 13th of that year. This is his first year trying this. And he already got his first play produced. As Strindberg watched the play being performed, he said he realized that it was not good and he felt like drowning himself.
Ja, det här låter som den Strindberg jag har koll på. Jag vet vart det här är på väg. Jävla galning. Okay.
Critics felt differently. Mm. And the reviews for the play were good. But hey, if the man wants to drown himself.
Jävla idiot alltså. Jävla idiot.
He wanted to switch things up and not write in verse anymore.
Okay.
He wanted people in his plays to speak more naturally.
Var det kanske det som störde honom? Att det rimmade?
Oh, maybe. Oh, I mean, it didn't necessarily rhyme, but it was like a poem.
Ah, just det. Men det är lite som Shakespeare skrev också på vers, men det är inte nödvändigtvis rim hela tiden.
Exactly. I had written that before I took it. I mean, I didn't say that part, but yeah, I used Shakespeare as the reference.
Yeah, för det, Shakespeare skrev på blank vers, tror jag.
Exactly.
And yes. One way to know that is because I'm theater school. It's a rhythm yeah. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Mm-hmm.
That is the rhythm. Mm-hmm. And then you don't pronounce it like that, but that is how you make that. You can write in blank vers if you go by ba 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 ba.
With that
stavelse. Cool.
Shakespeare was who inspired him to change to more naturally speaking, with the, because Shakespeare did the same. He switched to iambic pentameter,
mm-hmm.
And which was, instead of to be or not to be, it's the what's it called?
The question?
No, two houses both alike in dignity, and is there Verona where we lay our scene.
Yeah,
that's iambic pentameter.
Ah, that's, cool.
His newer stuff was getting mixed reviews, and he said Uppsala was depressing. Shout out to Uppsala.
Shout out to Uppsala. You're not depressing.
Uppsala is one of my favorite places to perform, by the way.
Jag har aldrig uppträtt där. Jo, det har jag. Med mitt hårdrocksband.
Okay.
Som jag inte har kvar.
After an Uppsala performance.
Yeah.
Fuck these people.
Vet du vad? Jag tror att det var ett av våra sista gig faktiskt.
Oh no. Mm. Every time I perform there, they love to laugh. They seem to be happy, have a good time. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Nej, eller hur?
He went back to school in Stockholm and kept writing his play, The Outlaw, and mm-hmm. it got shredded by critics.
Aida.
But King Charles XIV loved it and gave Strindberg 200 riksdaler in order to support his studies.
Jesus.
200 riksdaler then is the equivalent of getting 12,908 crowns today. However, according to historicalstatistics.org, 200 riksdaler riksmynt är... år 872 motsvarande betalning för lika lång arbetstid som 295,796
kronor okay.
År 2022.
Okay.
So for some reason it's that much money, but it was worth way much more back then.
Ah, just det. Ah.
I guess because you don't go grocery shopping and shit like that.
Just det. Mm.
Strindberg wrote a new play called Master Olof.
Ah. Den har jag talat om. Jag har inte läst den.
The Royal Theater rejected it.
Ja, det är därför jag inte läst den.
He became frustrated and rewrote it several times over the next 10 years.
Wow.
Like, this can work.
It's a master and it's Olaf.
What don't they see?
Hur kan de inte tycka om dem?
He was jaded and bitter now. He went back and gave school another shot.
Han var alltid bitter. Vad snackar han om nu? Han har varit bitter så länge du har pratat om honom.
Ja. Yeah. He went back, gave school another shot.
Ah, tillbaka till gold making.
Yeah. I can make it. It's not putty. And then he left again without graduating.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck
Härligt.
This man. He wrote a collection of short stories about being a student.
Mm-hmm.
And in the collection of short stories, he talked shit about Uppsala and the professors there.
Det suger att vara student. Det är det värsta som har hänt. Nej, nu skriver jag på vers igen.
They don't understand what putty is. They call my gold putty. The tail end of the 1870s was more of a roller coaster for Johann August. He met aristocrat Siri von Essen.
Ja, Siri von Essen.
In 1875. She was a 24-year-old actress. He was 26, so it's not weird.
Yeah.
And was only an aristocrat. She was an aristocrat through marriage. Okay, that's what she had married mm-hmm. into mm. aristocracy.
Yeah.
He was smitten.
Yeah.
During those times, he would refer to himself as a failed author.
Hi. I'm a failed author.
What? Oh, you actress? Failed author. Ah. Hi, how you
hey,
doing?
August Strindberg, misslyckad författare. Hey, hey.
Nice to meet you. Have you failed at anything? And then he looks out the window. I once saw my friend fall to
death. I'm a whoa. Oh, no, I cannot.
Here's a quote from him.
Mm-hmm.
This is in English, though.
Okay.
I feel like a deaf mute, as I cannot speak and am not permitted to write. Sometimes I stand in the middle of my room that seems like a prison cell, and then I want to scream so that the walls and ceilings would fly apart. And I have so much to scream about, and therefore, I remain silent. This is like the longest form of knyta näven I fickan.
Ja, verkligen. Verkligen.
What? Then in January the next year, I just thought that was a funny quote. I wanted to read
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Then in January the next year, he had a falling out with his father over the family business.
Jaha, men han älskade väl sin far?
It got so bad that he cut off communication with his dad.
Ja.
Didn't attend his father's funeral when he passed. Yeah.
Hårt.
He started sneaking around with Siri.
Mm-hmm.
And later that year, she divorced her husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They went public with their relationship, and Siri got a job at the Royal Theater.
Snicked.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
They got married. She was 6 months, I mean 7 months pregnant when they got married.
Mm. Whore. So, almost a bastard.
Almost as close.
Close.
You sure you can't push the wedding up a little bit? The baby was born premature.
Oh, so verkligen I sista sekunden.
Yeah, man. And died after 2 days.
Oh, härligt.
Yeah, man. The next year, 1879, his novel The Red Room came out.
Klassiker. Inte läst. Känner vi mycket väl till.
Okay. It was a satire about Stockholm society.
Yeah.
And is now considered the first modern Swedish novel.
Yep.
Swedish critics gave it mixed reviews, but they loved it in Denmark.
Yeah.
And they said he was a genius. You talking shit about Sweden? We'll take it.
Underbart.
This was his breakthrough novel in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
The aftermath of the book had people wanting to get to know about this Strindberg. And then he made a response to one critic that said the novel makes the reader want to join the fight against hypocrisy and reaction.
Hmm.
His quote is, I'm a socialist, a nihilist, a Republican, anything that is anti-reactionary. I want to turn everything upside down to see what lies beneath. Mm. I believe we are so webbed, so horribly regimented that no spring cleaning is possible. Everything must be burned, blown to bits, and then we can start afresh.
Jag känner igen det citatet faktiskt.
In Swedish.
Ah. Okay.
The 1880s saw Lindberg grow in popularity. He completed a drama called The Secret of the Guild.
Mm-hmm.
I should have gotten the Swedish titles, huh? Right after The Red Room. He released previous writings and contributed to a Copenhagen newspaper.
Okay.
He did a Teach Me Sweden type of thing where he chronicled Swedish cultural history from the 9th century onwards.
Oi.
Yeah, it took him a full year to complete this project, and he made a point to make it about ordinary people's lives instead of just like royalty or whatever.
Alltså inte riktigt som det vi håller på med.
That's like the only thing we can find.
Yeah, true.
I wonder how he found it though back then.
Ja, men han fanns säkert mer då.
Talking to people. Fan,
han pratade bara med folk.
Yeah. Ja.
Are you from the 9th century?
You got any stories from your grandma? From your father and his father before him?
Men det lär ju vara det. Alla har väl någon slags släktkrönika liksom. Yeah. Så det lär ju säkert ha gått att hitta.
The 1881 production of Master Olof was a great success and considered Strindberg's big breakthrough in theater.
Hur mycket har den, hur många gånger har han skrivit om den?
At least 10. His name is not even Olof anymore.
Nej, nej, nej. It's something weird. It's Gandalf or something.
It was a 5-hour long production.
Ah, men vad fan!
Directed by Strindberg himself,
mm-hmm.
and was critically acclaimed somehow.
Oh, fem timmar.
The biggest quote from a critic was, "I fell asleep twice." No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not true. 5 hours, goddamn!
Jag somnade bara två gånger. Ett mästerverk. Ett mästerverk.
It'd be funny, you know how they put the quotes on a play.
Yeah.
Like, best I've ever seen. Fell asleep twice. Three pee breaks for this. Then in 1883, Lucky Peter's Journey came out to financial success.
Mm-hmm.
Not just artsy success.
Okay.
He was making some money now. The play was acclaimed. But Strindberg said, and I mean, in his words, basically, it was a cash grab for him. Like, I need the money.
Yeah.
So I made this play.
And for
so
me, not, and for them.
Yeah. He wasn't afraid of controversy.
Nej.
One chapter in Red Room titled Våra idealister och om den offentliga lögnen, kanoniseringar och festtal. He called out men in public life.
Wow.
Strindberg lied about their blemishes and their vices. And it was considered scandalous at the time. He criticized virtually every social institution there was. And many people who wrote nonfiction perceived it was wrong for a fiction writer to venture into their genre.
Men känns det, vad fan ska han hålla på? Rickard är en slampa. Victor har inga pengar. Hålla på.
They said it was too real, I guess. You know what I mean?
Maybe,
I'm thinking there, just like... maybe it was too on the nose.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, he got some heat for that. And he was so widely discussed around Sweden. Oh, did you hear that shit? That he felt that he and his family should leave for a bit. Siri was not a fan of leaving Sweden.
Nej, hon jobbade för fan på teatern.
Yeah, he made her quit. This is the next... he had already asked her to stop working so she could have another kid.
Jag känner igen det här. Jag kommer ihåg det. Mm.
He said, listen woman. He was his time Sean Connery.
Eller
you have to smack her every now and then.
Every now and then.
Woman doesn't know when to stop.
Woman doesn't know how to shut up.
Have you heard? You seen that?
I've seen that clip, yeah.
That clip where he's like...
And also, I don't understand these scripts. För de sista 10 åren så gjorde han fruktansvärda val och tackade nej till jättemånga stora roller. Det var typ till Matrix, till rollen som Gandalf.
Really?
Alltså jag har den här filmpodden med Martin Sonneby och Ola och Fanny. Han dyker upp väldigt ofta, typ så här: Sean Connery was approached to do the role but declined because he didn't understand the script.
Too many words.
Too many words. And I'm tired from smacking my wife.
She never knows when to quit. In September 1883, the Strindbergs joined the Scandinavian artist colony in Grez outside Paris. Paris.
Aha, titta där.
But only a few weeks later, they moved to Paris because they were like, what the fuck is Grez? Mm-hmm. And later to Auchi at Lake Geneva, just south of Lausanne in Switzerland.
Okay.
In 1884, Strindberg wrote in a letter from Switzerland to his brother, Axel, it smells like rotten shit from Sweden all the way down here sometimes, but it'll work out.
Trevligt. Optimistisk syn som vanligt.
At the age of 37, he wrote a 4-part autobiography. Part of it was banned until his death.
Hette en del Inferno.
I believe so. Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit about
för that. Han var lite galen då, tror jag.
Yeah. But the part that was banned was the part when he was wooing Siri.
Jaha.
Yes.
Vadå, för att hon var gift?
It contained actual love letters. And I wrote, it was probably banned because she was married when he began courting. But him dying doesn't change that fact at all.
Nej, nej.
So, but I guess they made it better to print. So later they did print the, it contained those love letters and they printed the love letters. But at first they were just like, we cannot print this. She's a married woman. You're calling your own wife a dirty whore.
Yeah. The late, I'm by y'all.
She was. The late, all women are actually.
han har ju lite såna åsikter, va?
The late 80s saw him confront his religious beliefs, going from Lutheran to deism and eventually to atheism.
You sure it wasn't dietism?
Is it diet?
No, he went on a diet.
Losing my weight in the name of the Lord. I only eat crackers and wine. My new religion is crackers and wine. He continued writing and producing plays throughout Europe. 1888 saw him separate and reconcile with Siri, as well as founding the Scandinavian Experimental Theater in Copenhagen.
Okay.
Yeah. Siri would manage the theater, so he gave her a job. Look at that. Well, mm-hmm. See, it's not so bad.
Nej, bara tvinga henne att sluta från den kungliga teatern. Och, här, börja på den här svenska teatern.
In my theater.
Ja, i Danmark, i Köpenhamn.
He probably was one of those people that gets with somebody who's cheating on their guy and then suspect that she's going to cheat on you the whole time.
Säkert. Han har ju
Han
har så jävla mycket demoner så att det känns
ju. Writers from all across Europe were sending him scripts in the hopes to having their plays at his theater.
Okay.
But the project lasted less than a year and then he moved back to Sweden. And Siri moved to Finland where she was from with her children.
Just det, för när jag spelade Strindberg så spelade min motspelerska Siri. Och då pratade hon finlandssvenska. Så då tänkte jag, är det Siri Vanessen som är från Finland? Yeah. Och det verkar som att det var det.
Yeah. She was. August Strindberg took 3 years off from the theater after the failure of that theater. He wrote essays on philosophy and he started dealing with his inner conflict and all of that stuff. He's going to a dark place.
Yeah.
He claims that at this time he sunk deep into madness. Those are his words.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would have visions and paranoia.
Yeah.
He liked to drink. And his favorite was absinthe.
Ah, klassiker. Som skulle ha någon slags hallucinogen effekt på den tiden. För att de hade något. Men jag vet inte om det där är en myt. För att det finns ju absinthe nu. Och den är väldigt stark.
Right.
Så man kan bli full väldigt fort. Men tydligen så är det så här. Om man har sett Moulin Rouge så blir de ju typ så här LSD-höga.
Okay.
Och jag vet inte hur mycket sanning som ligger i det. Men det var också många som, jag tror Van Gogh, tror jag drack absint och i någon slags absintfylla skar av sig örat. Så att, vad tror jag? Fan, lyssna inte på mig. Påpeka inte att jag har fel nu om ni lyssnar på det här.
What he did call, as you mentioned, he called this period of his life the Inferno period.
Yes, och det är väl den han skrev en bok som hette det, tror jag.
Yeah. The 1890s saw him deal with writer's block. This affected his financial situation.
Yeah.
Financial troubles spiraled into depression. Mm-hmm. Seems like a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And all of this led to him being unable to support his family. Because I guess he was still supporting his ex-wife and, of course, his kids.
Hur många barn hade han?
They had 2 girls, okay. As far as I saw.
Okay.
A German magazine produced an appeal to help Strindberg.
Jaha, Tyskland gillar honom också då.
Yeah. We have to help him.
Get him help now.
money was raised for him and he left Sweden to get the artistic juices flowing again in Berlin.
Alltså åker dit och knulla.
I don't know, man.
If you say artistic juices, jag kommer direkt koppla det till något slags sexuellt perverst liksom.
He began producing some of his works in Berlin. He hung out with Scandinavian artists at a tavern called The Black Porker.
Well, that's a whorehouse.
And it's only African women working here.
The Black Porker? No, The Black Porker. Kan du inte läsa? Det kan jag.
It's like that. There's a big difference in the two. Yeah. One I'm getting fucked and one I'm fucking.
That's true.
He met Frida Uhl.
Frida Uhl.
Spelled UHL. She was 23 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. Just throwing it out there.
Shout out to age difference.
they got married in 1893.
Okay.
He was known to be indifferent or hostile to religion, especially priests. But now he had undergone some sort of conversion to a personal faith. In the postscript, he noted the impact of Emanuel Swedenborg on his current work. So he's still working.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Kan de här religiösa åsikterna ha dykt upp i galenskap och absint kanske?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, instead of cutting out my eye, I'll find the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He had spent the tail end of the late 1890s, 96 and 97, in the university town of Lund.
Aha, åkte ni dit?
Yeah, you were there recently.
Ja, just det. Ja. Var han också där för deras humorfestival?
Yep. He made a number of new friendships and he felt his mental stability and health improving. And he started to get back to writing. And that's when he wrote Inferno, Legends, and Jacob Wrestling. I don't know if you heard of that. Maybe. I don't know the titles in Swedish.
Jakobs Wrestling?
It says Jacob Wrestling.
Uh-huh. Känns inte som att wrestling fanns på den här tiden, men låt gå.
Maybe it's a direct translation.
Maybe he was a pioneer.
he inventor. No, wrestling is one of the oldest things in the world.
He was the world's first wrestler.
No, that was like Greek, right? Isn't that like a Greek thing?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the WWE.
He's Vince McMahon's idol. He came out for his book signings.
På söndag ses vi på Dramaten och då kommer jag knäcka dig.
Talking shit to all the other authors. Take that, Darwin. I will fuck you up. I will fuck you up.
Jag är Jakob.
He hits people with chairs. In 1899, almost the 1900s,
woo-hoo!
He returned permanently to Stockholm following another production of Master Olof. Master Olof seems to take him through his transition.
Ja, det ligger liksom en ständig succé.
Yeah, and that brought him back to Stockholm.
Det är lite som Colin Nutleys Änglagård.
He had a desire. You said what?
Colin Nutleys Änglagård, one of the most seen Swedish films.
Oh, okay.
Lasse Åbergs Sällskapsresan. We'll get there. I'll do them.
Okay. He had a desire to become recognized as a leading figure in Swedish literature, and to put earlier controversies behind him. And he felt that historical dramas were the way to attain that status.
Nu kommer snart fräcken Kjellie här.
And he claimed that he was writing realistically. He freely altered past events and biographical information. Also known as Tarantinoing.
Ja, det kanske var därför för länge sedan också som de där tyckte att Erik den 14:e historien var lite whack.
maybe.
Vadå, ett rymdskepp kom och plockade upp Erik den 14:e?
Ja!
Duh.
Det gjorde de.
So then the 1900s came around and he was pivotal in the creation of chamber plays.
Just det, alltså precis, kammarspel.
Yeah, the three-act play with small cast.
Yeah.
And so he's focused on the acting part of it. He even had a small theater where it was like no set, basically.
Yeah.
It's just like stage, and then you just had seashells, and then boom.
Yeah.
This is all we got.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's very fun.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm.
Oh. No, but because I was like, yeah.
I'm saying, if especially if it's 5 hours long.
Ja, om det är 5 timmar långt, absolut. Men jag har erfarenhet av, det finns ett improformat som heter Mono Scene.
Impro is different, though.
Chamber plays. Yeah, men this is a three act. Mono Scene is a one act. Men det utspelar sig i realtid som en pjäs i ett och samma rum. Så skillnaden från det till andra improformat där du kan hoppa liksom och byta platser och så är manuscene, den utspelar sig, så är den 30 minuter, så är det 30 minuter som händer där och då i den handlingen liksom.
Oof, that sounds really difficult.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's very based on character, character and relations, and of course finding the funny in that context. So
I find improv to be more entertaining, though.
For sure, it's not. Det har inga andra likheter med August Strindberg.
Seems like that's more, to me, it's more impressive. I like freestyle rap and all that stuff.
Yeah, men det är mycket mer fokus. Det är 100% fokus på humor, impro. Yeah.
All right, he thought he was going to get the Nobel Prize in 1909. This dude has a really...
Han trodde det själv.
I like it. He thought he was going to get it, but Selma Lagerlöf in what we'd like to call justice, sweet justice, was a woman who got it instead.
Yeah, jag har funderat på att faktiskt prata om henne några gånger, men jag har inte kommit dit än.
But she was the first woman and Swede to win the award. So that might have contributed to his feelings
about women.
towards women. And then he founded that theater I was telling you about, the Intimate Theater, which is what it was called in Stockholm. That was kind of stripped down.
Wait, är det Intiman? Den finns fortfarande, tror jag. Om det är den.
Yeah, that's the one. It was a stripped down theater.
Yeah.
And it was together with the young actor and stage director, August Falk.
Okay.
And you... Did you say Kammerspiel? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Kammerspiel. Yes, chamber exactly. Chamber place, yeah.
And it was modeled after the Kammerspiel.
Yeah.
Then we get to him finally getting a play in the United States.
Ooh.
His play, The Father, opened on April 9th, 1912 at the Berkeley Theater.
Fadren, just det. Fan, han har gjort många av dem här.
Yeah. And the reason that it made it to America, as we've mentioned before, is Werner Olland's wife.
Oh, really?
Translated Strindberg to
just
the American
det.
Public.
Just det.
That was when you said, oh, I know Strindberg.
and I just was like,
okay, must be a guy.
So Charlie Chan's
wife, Edith Gardner Schön Oland, did that. And that was their project. And that's what got them a lot of money, because they were the ones that did the full translation.
Just there.
Yeah, man, it all ties together, as
history.
Always.
History. It's crazy.
Yeah, teach me Sweden moment. And then, just before, like, they started staging the plays, but in Christmas of 1911, he got sick with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to suffer, and he had stomach cancer that was, like, he started feeling pains from that in 1908.
Mm-hmm.
And the final weeks of his life were very painful, according to people around him.
Oosh.
He was a national celebrity, but it was clear that he was seriously ill. So one thing that pointed to that was the fact that the daily papers in Stockholm reported on his health in every edition. Like an update, a Strindberg update on him. And that's some crazy love right there.
Det är verkligen.
And he got letters and telegrams from admirers every day from across the country. And 1 month and 5 days after the debut in New York, he succumbed to pneumonia and the stomach cancer. And at the age of 63, on May 14th, 1912.
Inte så gammal. Alltså, man blev ju inte alltid så gammal. Men 63, alltså.
Yes, I mean, with stomach cancer.
Har man bingeat absint i säkert ett par år?
Sure, that didn't help.
Nej.
Yeah, so... they were given strict instructions about his funeral, how his body should be treated after death. Only members of his immediate family were allowed to view his body. There would be no abduction, no photographs would be taken, and no death mask was made. Death mask?
Ja, men man gjorde väl sånt förut, tror jag.
Bro, they had a likeness of the person's face put onto the body.
Ja, jag tror man gjorde det förut. Det är lite weird.
He wanted the funeral to be taking place as soon as possible after death to avoid crowds of onlookers. This dude had a very high opinion of himself.
Eller hur?
But they made it take place on a Sunday so that it was possible for working men to pay their respects.
Women.
So the funeral was postponed for 5 days, and that's not what he wanted. But and his last wish, the funeral procession was to start at 8 a.m., again, to avoid crowds, but large groups of people were nevertheless waiting outside his home, as well as the cemetery, as early as 7 a.m.
Huh.
And a short service was conducted in his home, presence of three of his children and housekeeper, in which the coffin was taken outside for the funeral procession. Damn. The procession was followed by groups of students, workers, members of the parliament, and a couple of cabinet ministers. And it was estimated that up to 60,000 people lined the streets.
Mm-hmm.
King Gustav V sent a wreath for the bier. He left a legacy, as you know.
Yeah.
Tennessee Williams, Edward Albee, Maxim Gorky, John Osborne, and Ingmar Bergman are among the many artists who have cited Strindberg as an influence.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, that's the life of him. He was criticized. He was opposed to conventional authority. He was difficult to pigeonhole as a political figure. Through his long career, he penned scathing attacks on the military, the church, and the monarchy. And for most of his public life, he was seen as a major figure on the literary left and a standard bearer of cultural radicalism. But later in his life, he went conservative, as you do.
As they do.
And he had some religious views that alienated some people who were like, oh, I thought this was our guy. and then late, right before he died is when he went back to criticizing like he did early in his career. So...
Svårt att bestämma sig.
Yeah.
Den lilla rackan.
Yeah, man. So that's our guy, man. The man who had the inferno burning inside.
Yeah. Shaped modern writers.
Yes, that's August Strindberg.
Mm. Eller
Frö.
Did you remember that? Frö. That's the life of Frö. So fertile.
Yeah. Fertile fruit.
So, god of fertility.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That was a great story.
Yeah, I hope I did it justice. I felt like it was a big one to do.
Det är svårt. Det här är nog så här. Det här är säkert... Det här finns alltid en chans att det är någon som är världens Strindberg-fan. Men fuck it. Jag lärde mig mer om Strindberg genom det här samtalet. Och det är det som är huvudsaken.
Exactly. Mm. That was fun. Thank you all for checking us out. You can support us on... Patreon.com/teachmesweden.
Yeah.
Send some suggestions if you got somebody that you really want us to check out. Mm. Go ahead, send it. Send links too. Anything you have, if you want it in Swedish, just write it in the title for Eric.
Yeah.
And if you want it in English, write it in the title for me at teachmesweden@gmail.com. This has been Jonathan Rollins.
And Eric Broström.
Teaching you Sweden.
Yeah.
Peace.
Fred på jorden.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.